let me just ask this one more question. Will you be able to help us find Mr. Wilson, inmate Wilson, after we get finished with this one? We need some help.
Yeah, I might be able to. I think he's on the other side,
but
I think he's in dorm 2, or dorm 1.
Okay, if you could just kind of help us to see who we need to contact in the other dorm, we would certainly appreciate it.
All right, just let me know when you guys are done and I'll help you out.
Okay, well, thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Here's Mr. Shelby.
Thank you.
Hello?
What's going on? I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yes, sir. Mr. Feldman, would you please state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Terrence Jacob Felder. My ABC number is 22-28-87.
Okay, thank you, sir. We're appearing for the, on the phone with the Irving. The Irving Board of Baby Clemency this afternoon in reference to the community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing. We have the Honorable Lincoln Earls, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wade, who's our board chairman, the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse, and the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the panel chair. Also in the room today, we have Mr. Albert from the Department of Correction, and he will also represent the pro-lots today. Prior to hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this hearing and the date. Do you remember that form, sir?
No, I didn't. I filled out a form stating that I would like to go before the board. I was under the assumption that maybe I might be able to get reinstated back on parole.
Right. Well, you were sent a notification of the hearing date, and you signed it on March 15th.
Yes.
Okay.
But I didn't know exactly what the hearing was going to be on, though.
Okay, well, that's what the form's all about. It's on there. But you remember signing the form?
Yes.
Okay. On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a license of attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or did you represent yourself today?
Yes, I'm representing myself today.
Okay, I'm going to swear to you and Mr. Oliveira in at this time, so you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you still affirm?
I solemnly swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Okay,
thank you.
Your hearing will be conducted in two phases today, sir. In phase one, we'll determine if the term is conditional and the community supervision have been violated. Then phase two will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the four allegations that are on your warrant, and after each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. Okay?
Yes.
Allegation number one is violation of Arizona Commission of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by the use of morphine on or about January 5th, 2018, for the task lab report dated January 16th, 2018. That's true or false, sir?
That's true.
Allegation number two, violation of the conditional supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on about February 26th, 2018, for the task GCMS lab report dated March 1st, 2018. True or false, sir?
True.
Allegation number three, violation of Arizona conditional supervision number 7, has been failed by your use of alcohol on or about February 26, 2018, for the task lab report dated March 1st, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
March 1st?
That's when the report was dated, but the UA was on February 26th of 2018.
Yeah, I was already in custody. I turned myself in on the 26th. I didn't run, I didn't flee. I told my parole officer exactly what I did and what I used.
Okay. Well, did they do a, if that's when you turned yourself in, did they do a mouth swab?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's where task would get a sample from the mouth swab. But that,
okay, so then the alcohol was from the 26th then, right?
Yeah.
But the test results didn't come back to the 1st?
Yeah, right.
Well, okay, then yes, that's true.
Sometimes the report is a report when they put all these together, sometimes it's a couple days and sometimes it can be a couple weeks before reports put it out. All right, now condition number four is violation of the condition of supervision number four as demonstrated by your failure to successfully complete substance abuse counseling on about February 26, 2018, and directed on October 16, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
That is false. I completed that program. As far as my CHC classes go, I was fully completed. I was past my 120 days. I was just awaiting, what's the word I'm looking for? Somewhere that, like an address.
Okay.
The address that I had gave the parole officer, she said that it was not valid because of a domestic violence charge that was a call to that house. So I was
okay.
I was awaiting for a new address.
Okay, hang on, sir. Since you said that it is false, I'm going to get some information from Mr. Oliveri and then we'll discuss it in a little bit more detail. Mr. Oliveri,
okay.
Allegation number four.
Allegation number four. On October 16th and 17th, the offender was screened, assessed, and accepted into the ITH program at MRC located at 24601 North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85027. On February 26th of 18, the offender was discharged from the ITH program due to the offender failed to return to MRC while on transition on January 4th of 18. He tested positive for morphine on January 5th of 18. He submitted a diluted urine sample on February 6th of 18. He failed to return to MRC on February 25th of 18. The offender returned to MRC on February 26th of 18 and stated that he smoked methamphetamine and drank alcohol on February 25th of 18. On February 26th of 18, the offender tested positive for methamphetamine and ETG.
Thanks, sir. So, Mr. Feld, what is false about that allegation?
What are my thoughts about the allegation?
I said, what is false about the allegation, about the information?
Oh, no, no. All the information is true, but as far as the counseling sessions go with the CHC classes, I think there's only 35 classes that you have to attend for the substance abuse. I graduated the CHC classes.
Okay, the ITH program at MRC, when you do all these violations of the rules, they don't successfully discharge you from the program, they discharge you successfully.
Okay.
So,
I understand.
Okay, so we're going to move this on. Don't get worried about this motion. We've got another phase to go through. So, based on the admissions of Mr. Felder for allegation number 1, 2, and 3, and the information from the Department of Corrections on allegation number 4, and all the other information in the number 201-AW0552, I move to find Mr. Felder delinquent as he violated the term condition of the supervision and he may not lapse or not lapse in the criminal rules or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay. Mr. Felder, we're going to move to phase two now. We start that by having Mr. Oliver give us some background information, so stay there on the phone. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Okay?
Okay.
Mr. Oliver.
Offender Felder was released from the Department of Corrections on September 11, 2017. He was arrested in office on February 26 of 2018, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He had 0 days abscond. His supervision end date will be on August 11th of 2018. Current conviction, 2013, burglary, 3rd degree, 5 years. Prior convictions, 2005, theft, 1 year. 2009, criminal trespass, 1st degree, 1 year. And in 2010, resisting arrest, 1 year. The offender has 4 terms with ABC. CU and IR scores are a 2-3. Mental health score of a 2, and substance abuse score of a 3. STG gang information, inmate has been identified on GameNet as a member of the criminal street gang, Eastside 18th Street Posse. Prior terms of supervision, 2007, TIS completion, 1 month. 2010, TIS absconded, 15 days, revoked. And in 2011, TIS absconded for 233 days, reached a CSED prior to seeing the BOEC. The offender has a moderate disciplinary history with drugs and violence noted. One other arrest in 2004, robbery, Arizona juvenile probation, and his community risk level is a G7VE.
Thanks, sir. Okay, Mr. Feld, we're going to go over the summary of your case supervision. Well, on September 11, 2017, you released an approved address of TLC located in 2202 East Rebound in Phoenix, Arizona. Then on October 11, 2017, you established a residence at MRC located at 24601 North Pranic Avenue in Phoenix. And since you were an absconder, I'm going to assume that overall you were a resident of MRC until you were violated, right?
Well, to be honest with you, I violated 3 or 4 times, but I didn't run. I did not run none of those times, and I faced my consequences like an adult, and that's what I did this time.
Well, so
I've had a lot of time to think about what I've done while being incarcerated, and it's changed me, but I do have a drug problem, and my struggle is real, but I'm willing to face my consequences, but I just don't think that prison would be the best thing for me. I had a job out there. I was working every day. My living situation probably wasn't the best for me as far as where I stayed at and where I was working. But as far as owning up to my responsibilities, I think I was doing that. I had a little misstep with my drug problems.
Okay, so back to my question, though, you were staying primarily at MRC until you were reincarcerated, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, and you...
I called that the same day I violated, I called and spoke to Ms. McKee and told her that I was on my way, knowing that I was coming back to prison or that I was violated. There was no way of me saying, well, I'm violated. Well, the old me would have been like, catch me when you catch me. And that's not what I'm about anymore. As far as the gang member and all that stuff goes, that's my past. It's something that I have to live with. Just like I'll never be able to say that I'm a recovered addict. I'll always be an addict. It's a struggle for me every day. It's a fight. It's hard. I don't know whether or not you guys have ever had any problems with drug use or alcohol abuse, but it's really hard, you know? And that's something you have to live with for the rest of your life. Kind of like my prison number. I'll never be able to get rid of that. That's just a jacket that I'll have to wear for the rest of my life.
I don't think anybody on the board has ever suffered from any kind of substance of addiction, but we've all been subjected to the consequences of it through other people we've dealt with, either in our careers or in our personal life. So we understand that it's very, very difficult to obtain your sobriety and maintain it. We do understand that, and look at these situations, and we have to make a determination because we have to weigh what's going on with Eaton versus what's going to happen out in the community and all that stuff. So we have to weigh that and decide what we think is the best course of action. But we're going to sort of boil down for you to handle your drug problem is basically all up to you, because if you don't do it, if you don't make up your mind to do it, nobody else can do it for you. They can help you.
Right.
But unless you want to do it, and you really want to do it, then it's not going to happen no matter what anybody else does. So.
One question for you. I didn't hear anything about my work history for the whole time that I was out.
Well, that's where I was going. When I was trying to find
when I first got out, I did not go back to criminal ways as far as robbing, stealing, gang member or whatever my past says that paints a picture of the monster that I was. my third day out of prison, I went and found a job. I worked all the way up to the point where my parole officer wanted me to turn myself into 29,000 in Happy Valley to the MRC program. When MRC program allowed me to leave the residence to go attend work, I found work that same day. I worked. I've been working. I have a job as soon as I get out of here. If I could just get out of here, if I could make it out of here, God willing.
One day, you will be released, and in my mind, I have faith that you will be released and you won't be going out in any kind of a body bag. It's just a matter of timing. But when you're done with this sentence, you can go out and you tell me the line that you're talking about now, that you won't have to be back incarcerated. But the drug deal was really powerful, especially if he's wrapped it up with a couple of different drugs and alcohol, and it's all wrapped together. It gets really, really tough, you know that.
Yes.
You said you weren't doing criminal ways and everything, but you were doing drugs, so you were doing criminal.
Yes, yes.
It kind of contradicts what I was saying. Well, I understand what you're trying to say. You were out there and you were robbing and beating up people and doing that kind of stuff. You were doing drugs, which is illegal, but you weren't doing the illegal things to support the habit of them, which is probably why you're in prison in the first place.
I was trespassing on my father's residence, 2013. July or June 21st, 2013, I got caught. I was on the premises of 1505 East Valletta at my father's house. I lived at that house from the age of, I want to say 10 to about 12 when I ran away as a juvenile. I ran away from that house because of certain living situations. I returned to that address looking for my father, but while in the process of looking for my father, I was under the influence and really didn't know who I was or what I was doing. And I spoke to the neighbors. I gave the neighbors my, this is what I don't understand. I got 5 years for trespassing.
Okay,
I gave the neighbors my full name.
Well, sir, sir.
And my phone number.
Sir, the charge that we have is not trespassing. It's burglary in the third degree. We're not familiar with that case, and we're not a, you know, so in trial court, so
okay.
Trying to figure it out, we can't do meetings. You know, we have it in burglary, and there are different aspects of burglaries can be constituted by different things, okay? So, it's very commendable that you were working. I'm going to go ahead and see if any of the other board members have any questions at this time.
Okay.
Mr. Johnson?
Sir, Mr. Felder. You said that
yes.
You was facing up to your responsibilities, which I think is a very, very good thing. And you got out, you had a job, and you're working, and you're making money, sir. But you got to try to turn that corner to face up to your responsibility to get off and stay off drugs, since that seems to be one of your turning points, sir.
I was having a lot of family issues. My mother just passed away from breast cancer. She fought for 13 years. I was going through a really bad point in time in my life. I just did 5 years. I missed a lot of time with my mother. It is why I felt like hurting somebody, and I couldn't hurt anybody but myself because it wasn't nobody's fault but mine. And as sorry and as sad as it sounds for me to sit there and curl up in a ball and just act like a coward and not feel my emotions and face them like a man and just deal with it and move on and be strong, not only for me but for my family. I was weak, and sad to say, my state of mind as far as for drugs went at that point in time in my life, I needed something. I felt suicidal. I just felt like my world was over. The woman that gave birth to me passed away and died in my arms.
All right, thank you, Mr.
I didn't know what to say.
Mr. Felder, thank you.
No other questions? Mr. Felder, we're coming to the end of your hearing soon, and so Would I give you an opportunity if you have anything else you would like to tell us before we go into discussion to make a determination? This is the time for it. We ask that you don't repeat the information that we, that you've already given us. But if you have any other information you'd like to have, now's the time for you to get to it.
One thing I do have to say is thank you guys for hearing me out, and I appreciate everything you guys have done. You guys have a blessed day, and I fully respect your guys' wishes, and I will accept it with open arms. Thank you guys. You guys have a nice day.
Okay, thank you, sir. We're going to go into discussion now. We ask that you stay on phone, but remain silent while we're in discussion. You can hear everything we say. It's the open meeting law in Arizona. That's the way we operate. We just ask that you remain silent while we're in discussion, okay?
All right.
All right, we're going to have discussion. Well, it seems that we've had a lot of unfortunate cases today, but this one is... Mr. Felder sounds like, like he wants to move forward with his life and not keep repeating all these mistakes. But with the number of violations and the idea that the EPA is really working with him, and he can just continue to do that, and the day turned himself in, he was burdened. So I think he'd be better served to spend the rest of his time through August putting together a plan, might be able to get some AA and NA programming done between now and then, and if he can help and help him get that, because it's going to be all up to him when he's released, and nobody but him can do it. I'm not finding this good candidate for community and supervision at the time. I just want to get a little discussion from any of my fellow board members.
Great.
Okay. Well, based on all the information on that number, Tuesday, 1-8-W-0-5-5-2, Mr. Felder's testimony, the information from DOC and our discussion, I'm going to move to revoke community supervision of Mr. Felder as a delinquent violator, term and condition of supervision, and have lapse or without the lapse in a criminal wage or company, specifically the continued drug usage. And that's my motion.
Second.
Agree.
So, Mr. Felder, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. It's just the continuing violations that it's obvious the POs were trying to work with you. And we understand that it's not just something you can turn off like a light. But based on all that, we can work your community supervision. I would suggest that you make every attempt to get some NAAA programming between now and looks like August 11th is when you're due to be out. You won't have Department of Corrections to deal with. You can live where you want, work where you want, and just if you stay up there, you'll be back into DOC and you'll have to wear those ugly orange clothes that they make you wear in there. We do wish you the best of luck. Don't look at this as a negative. Look at it as just the beginning of the rest of your trip to recovery. And we thank you for coming to your hearing, and could you put your CO3 back on the phone, please?
Yes, sir. You guys have a blessed day. Thank you very much.